This is Tactical Advantage with John Register, presented by Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Tactical Advantage brings news, information, and resources to military-connected people of color throughout the Pikes Peak region. Now, here's your host, John Register.
Hey, great Saturday morning, everybody. Another Saturday of learning awakes us all. Welcome back once again to the Tactical Advantage. My name is John Register, Paralympic silver medalist, combat veteran, and change mindset warrior. And guess what? Lover of my bride, Alice Register. We just celebrated 33 years of marital bliss. I'm getting the applause from the booth right there. We are having a great show today as well. We're going to be talking with a person from Mount Carmel Veteran Services, a representative who's going to talk about veterans and family resources at the organization around financial planning and minority programs as well. Then we're going to jump over to Valiant Staffing, a military recruiter and a veteran who weighs in on the transition from the military to civilian careers. And our third segment will be a challenging one because we're going to preview the documentary American Exile, exploring the deportation of veteran immigrants who have served honorably. We're going to talk to Joe Aldez about that. And as always, we have to thank Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center, who provides this service to us each week. Tactical Advantage is brought to you by Wirenut Home Services, Star Dental Institute, and Medicare Mentors. You can always follow me on my website, johnregister.com, for all of your social media if you want to follow me on any of those channels. Now get your cup of joe, grab your donut, turn up your earbuds. Once again, you're on the Tactical Advantage with John Register, and we're going to start right now. In studio, we have Joe Aldez, President and CEO, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Lieutenant Colonel, retired 1H Air Force. Thanks for your service, sir.
Well, thank you for your service, John.
It's great for you. I'm always so happy to see you, and I love the chance to talk about this topic today. So the Hispanic Chamber is showing the documentary American Exile in Colorado Springs. Tell us a little bit about the film and how the Chamber became involved.
Sure. American Exile captures and spotlights two Latino veterans who happen to be brothers Manuel and Valente Valenzuela. They served honorably in the Vietnam War. And since then, they have been fighting to stay in the United States and being immigrants are, being threatened to be deported based on U.S. policies and regulations. So the way I came across that documentary is I was invited to a screening approximately 3 or 4 months ago through the University of Denver. And it was American Exile, so I reached out to the director, a gentleman named John Valadez, and producer of it, to see if he would like to bring that screening here to Colorado Springs, just based on the fact that we have a large veteran population. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something important for our community to see and to learn on the struggles of what many of our immigrant veterans are going through in our country, which, as a retired veteran, I was under some false assumptions and was kind of disappointed to find out that many of our service members who have served honorably, who happen to be immigrants, are under that shadow of being deported from our country.
I find that just heartbreaking, that a person can serve honorably in our military and they have not been naturalized here, but are fighting for us, and then once everything's done, see you later, go back to a place where you may not even know it's part of your growing up period.
Right, and that's what's unfortunate. Obviously, some of these veterans, once they separated, have some misdemeanor crimes, and with the law on that, which has expedited that deportation process. But I think there can be a system put in place to allow them to stay here in our country based on their military service.
Well, I want to get into that as what you think as far as might be help in that area. But I thought there was a fast track for citizenship at one point,
That was my assumption, having been at Fort Carson with some of the programs that I've been involved with, and with a program I'm involved with right now, Onward to Opportunity, in my other capacity, mm-hmm. we see a lot of immigrant soldiers participate in our program. So I was under that assumption that once you separate from the military with an honorable discharge, you go through what we call that expedited naturalization process to become a U.S. citizen. And apparently that's not always happening. As I mentioned previously, before we got on air, there are 94,000 non-citizen immigrant veterans in the United States.
94,000.
Right. Some of them are under that, you know, shadow of being deported. And some of them are based on having a criminal past. Not sure what the level of those crimes are, but as sophisticated as our country and administration is, I think there are ways that we could keep them in the country. And obviously, you know, they have to pay that penalty of those crimes. But I think we are smart enough to figure out that process. And these gentlemen, Manuel and Valente Valenzuela, have been fighting that fight, not only on their behalf, but on the behalf of other immigrant veterans throughout the country.
We see a lot, you know, and we hear this in the commentary of, you know, crimes or things that may have been committed. But usually the misdemeanors we're talking about, it might be, you know, like, say, marijuana charge.
Right.
And now all these states are coming up with it's legalized. Right.
Right.
So was it, you know, illegal then and now it's legal now? And so these things are really, you know, my point is, If we're going to make it legalized now, everybody that's in prison for that, they should be released right away. They should
right.
just be gone. Is that what we're seeing? Is, you know, those are the.
You know, I am not sure of all the crimes. I've done some research, and some of them have been drug crimes, of where they've been transporting illegal drugs across the border and have been caught. Obviously, they should pay the penalty for that. But at the same time, I think they ought to be able to stay in this country if they have to serve prison time, and then on their exit or when they are paroled, be able to stay in the country versus being deported.
Do you know the difference of that versus just in general, like anybody that served honorably, the aggregate number of people that served honorably and then got into some trouble with
you know, I haven't done any of that research, but obviously, we know that as you serve, and if you are honorably discharged and you're an American citizen, if you commit a crime, you're going to have to, right. you know, do the time. And I think this is a very, I guess, difficult situation to have veterans who we have welcomed to serve in our country as immigrants. And then if they do get in trouble, it seems to me like we're just pushing them aside, saying, well, we're going to deport you back to your country. You know,
because we don't do it with anybody
right.
else, right?
So it seems like it's an easy solution to say, you've committed a crime, so now we're going to send you back to your country, versus letting them possibly go through that legal process to stay in the country. And many of them, I think, would probably say, you know, I did the crime, I will serve whatever time or penalty I have for that outcome to be able to stay in the country, because many of them have been in this country for decades, you know, as I mentioned with Manuel Valente Valenzuela. And ironically, Manuel Valenzuela will make an appearance at the screening because he's a Colorado Springs resident.
So, yeah, I was going to ask, that's the next question I had, is, you know, why is the documentary American Exile, why is it so important to the Colorado Springs community?
Well, that was, you know, ironically, I found out when I was talking with John Valadez, he said, you know, Manuel Valenzuela, one of the brothers, has been a resident of Colorado Springs for several years.
Wow.
So I said, wow, that is, you know, interesting. So he is going to make some remarks at the screening as well with John Valadez, who's the producer and director. We'll also talk a little bit about the film. I think it's just an important topic that maybe will create more awareness, that we as veterans probably have that same assumption as you and I did, that they become naturalized
right.
U.S. citizens once they serve. That's obviously has not happened to all of them and to many of them who are now under that shadow of deportation.
And so this is a free community screening.
Free community screening. All they have to do is go to the Ent Center for the Arts website under their events, and they can register and attend.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, fascinating conversation we're having with Joe Aldez, President and CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Lieutenant Colonel, Air Force, retired. You have some interesting things in your background that I found just absolutely fascinating. Maybe not so much for Colorado Springs, because I think a lot of people in Colorado Springs may have, not a lot, but you know, kind of how it was developed, would have some of these things there. You are a thoroughbred horse racing fan and owner. Talk a little bit about that. Owning racehorses?
My journey started in 1995. I was born and raised in a small town in northeastern New Mexico, Raton, New Mexico, which had one of the first thoroughbred racetracks in the Southwest, opened in 1943, I believe, called La Mesa Park. And as I was growing up there, my grandfather was blind, and I used to take him to the thoroughbred races there and read the form and the program, and just got really interested to the point when I turned 17, I actually sold the pari-mutuel tickets there, where in the old-fashioned way where you punched the number and the ticket spit out, and the person wanted the ticket paid and they got the ticket. So I did that for a couple summers. And in 1995, I happened to be down there, and one of my old friends said, you know, would you ever be interested in partnering on a racehorse? And I said, sure. And about 3 or 4 months later, he got back in touch with me and said, I have a two-year-old thoroughbred here. I'd like you to partner with me. And that's kind of how I got into the venture, as in partnerships. And then here recently, there is a corporation called My Racehorse, which is invested in partnerships throughout the country, and they allow just regular citizens to go ahead and invest in certain shares of different horses throughout the country. So there was a stable of called Famous Future Stars stable of 10 thoroughbreds, 2-year-olds, and I invested some money into that along with my son to be a partner. And we have very small investment shares, so it's more of a fun thing now to see some of those horses as they're maturing from 2-year-olds to 3-year-olds race across the country at some of these high profile tracks like Saratoga, Belmont Park, Del Mar in California, which is basically, if you would equate it to a professional sport, that's the NBA. When I had partnerships with horses from 95 to 2010, that would be kind of the minor leagues of the racetracks I was racing our horses at.
So that's how you made your millions.
I wish I would have made millions. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be with the Hispanic Chamber Onward Opportunity right now.
But you also coached over at the Air Force Academy basketball at the prep school.
Yes, I did. That was my last assignment in the Air Force. I had transitioned from Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, and I interviewed for that position and became their director of athletics and women's basketball coach. And the way I kind of got into that is throughout my Air Force career, I had coached several different Air Force men's base basketball teams there, of which we would usually go and compete on the junior college Division II circuit, playing a lot of what you would call exhibition games for these colleges prior to them starting their conference schedules. So I did that for several years. And then when I was stationed here in Colorado Springs, I happened to be a part-time assistant coach at a couple of the different high schools here in Colorado. So I think that allowed me to kind of have the inside track to gain that position. So I coached their women's team for 4.5 years and then exited into the veteran retired arena.
So we see the opportunities, right, that you have had after, you know, honorably serving, you know, your light colonel. And you've been afforded all these amazing things as you have kind of come through the ranks and have done, you know, just, you know, extremely well and doing fantastic work with the Hispanic Chamber and growing that organization as well. What would you like to see, you know, as part of American Exile and these, you know, for the 94,000 non-citizens that are possibly facing deportation just after serving in our armed forces?
You know, what I hope to happens is those that come to see the film, you know, hope it creates more of an awareness of what is happening in our country, and kind of make a comparison to what we see is happening right now, you know, on our borders, where people are coming uninhibited into our country, yet we have what I would say American citizens who happen to be immigrants who honorably served don't have the right paperwork, have committed minor crimes, you know, being told they're going to be deported. And I don't think there's a balance there. And I think we have ways to fix that. And I hope, you know, we have some vocal advocates that come out of this to, you know, just educate others about what has transpired.
I'm kind of don't have the right paperwork, but got the military.
Well, you know, ironically, with Manuel Valenzuela, since he is a resident of Colorado Springs in Colorado, he had provided a lot of his documentation to Wayne Williams, who was the Secretary of State a few years ago and is now a city councilman. But when Wayne Williams was serving as the Secretary of State here, he provided him his paperwork, and Wayne Williams allowed him to vote in Colorado. Yet he cannot vote on a national level for the presidency.
Wow.
Which just kind of just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Don't know the background behind that, but you would think if there is a government official in our state that feels that he is qualified to be an American citizen and vote, what are the barriers for him to become a citizen and vote on a national level? And Manuel's been all the way to the White House trying to, you know, make inroads, and just has come across many barriers and a lot of probably indifference to the plight a lot of these immigrant veterans are going through.
Wow. Yeah, because the commander-in-chief, you know, if you can't vote for the commander-in-chief, then why are we working for the commander-in-chief?
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, you're going to serve our country, you have a commander-in-chief, but yet after you serve and maybe get in a little bit of trouble, we're going to send you back to your country.
Yeah. So we have this, it's going to be coming over on August the 24th at 7 p.m. over the End Center for the Performing Arts, Shockley Zalabic Theater. Mm-hmm. And so I want to kind of, you know, we've done some work, and I've been honored to be over there with the Hispanic Chamber a few times. With veteran-owned businesses are they taking advantage of the Hispanic Chamber now? Are you seeing it really grow in our community?
Well, we've grown quite rapidly over the last 3 years, and we are getting more veteran-owned businesses, and we offer them special membership discounts if they're veteran-owned. So, you know, we want to be inclusive to the broad industries in our community and the different types of business owners. So we've seen a trend in that. Matter of fact, one of our business owners who happens to be veteran-owned just received an award yesterday from the Southern Colorado Women's Chamber accolades as the Minority Business of the Year, and it's called Atrevida Beer Company.
Oh, yeah.
And they are a veteran-owned Hispanic business here in Colorado Springs as well.
So Colorado Springs, you know, how are we doing as far as, you know, some of the hurdles that are facing challenges facing veterans, Hispanic veterans especially?
You know, I think just as veterans and just as a minority group, I think Colorado Springs understands the diversity aspect of our city.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are learning to understand what the inclusion aspect of diversity, equity, inclusion is on, you know, having a seat at the table and your input being valued. Colorado Springs is heavily populated with a lot of nonprofit boards. So I've been a very vocal advocate of talking with the nonprofit CEOs to say, how do we strategize to change the demographic of your boards, because they don't look like our community, and trying to get those voices on those boards that are influential and make decisions that can impact not the entire community. And we're trying to build that voice as an Hispanic chamber to understand when there are decisions made that they come to us and say, we're getting ready to make this economic decision or this decision. What are the thoughts from the Latino and Hispanic community on that? And we have to build that credibility and voice in order for them to come to us and say, hey, we value their input on decisions that impact our community.
Very, very well said. Once again, everybody, we've been talking with Joe Aldez, President and CEO of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And so thank you so much for being on. Great conversation today.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And thank you for your service to our country and for working and helping my other program I work with, Onward to Opportunity, great presentations, and we get a lot of great feedback on those from our participants.
Happy to do it, and happy that to be asked to say a couple words to the group. So we appreciate it. And once again, everybody, make sure that you go out and see American Exile, presented by UCCS and Colorado Springs Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, on August the 24th at 7 p.m. at the Ent Center for the Performing Arts, the Shockley Zalabak Theater. So get on over there. I want to do my best to see if I can get over there as well. I'm not sure what's going on that day for me, but make sure that you are over there at 7 p.m. To see this and just kind of be a voice in the community. Think about that. You know, you serve your country honorably, valiantly, and then after it's all over with, they say, go back to Ireland. Go back to England. Go back to wherever you're from, because you're not a naturalized citizen here. So how does that even work? So become an advocate in the community, and we will be back with Tactical Advantage right after this with your host, John Register.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tactical Advantage. My name is John Register, and in studio with me is Eric Cruz, Vice President of Recruiting and Talent Acquisition, Valiant Staffing, partner organization at Mount Carmel. Hey, welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I like this guy, man. He's got this. You see him? He's got this nice bushy beard, and he's got like mine. Mine's more white than his.
This is post military. I finally get to grow a couple hairs on my face.
I just thought you were like special ops or something.
Not me.
Hey, you know, tell us a little bit about Valiant Staffing.
A little bit about Valiant Staffing. We've been in business going on 4 years. I've been with the company for 3 years as I transitioned from the military. I took over this role post-military after 30 years of service, last 12 of recruiting command for the Colorado National Guard. I decided to take in this role to help veterans, those who currently serve and those who serve in the past, with great opportunities. A lot of veterans don't know what to do with the career skills they got through the military, and that's why I took this job. Valiant Staffing, we got a model, which is serve those who have served. Mm-hmm. I work strictly for veterans and family members.
So when you talk about serving those who have served, a lot of times when we talk on, at least on this show, you know, we're talking about the transition for individuals that are moving from active duty into the workforce, or like you were saying, that are looking to kind of maybe reassess a job. How do you help align some of the skill sets that people did in the military with the nomenclatures of those jobs that are out in the civilian market?
It was easier for me to transition because my last years, as I said, it was with recruiting command. Yeah. So I have a wide knowledge when it comes to jobs in the military, especially on the Army side, which is the branch I represented. It was very simple for me to say, wear two hats, help you with the civilian, understand the civilian mm-hmm. market, and also understand the military MOSs, military occupational skills, and help them transition those. If you're a mechanic in civilian life, it's similar to what you did in the military. So I transitioned a lot of those jobs into the companies that we do. That's what we work a lot with, the heavy industrial, to help those lower enlisted people mm-hmm. with full-time opportunities in civilian life, sir.
Do you see the some of the people that you're working with, the companies that are hiring veterans, are they more readily to help in that area, to kind of understand the different nomenclatures that are coming at them, or is there a bit of resistance with that?
The opposite is real good for the veterans.
Yeah.
That's what Valiant Staffing, we mm-hmm. out of thousands of staffing agencies right here in the state of Colorado, we go strictly with veterans, because once we mention to companies that we work strictly with veterans and family members, that open all the doors for the veterans and give us opportunities to help the veterans with full-time employments. This job is not day laborers. This is full-time employment with career mm-hmm. opportunities for them to transition everything they did in the military into civilian life.
And how far in advance do they come work with you that are about to start their transition period?
I have been blessed that I get an opportunity to work in Fort Carson with the SFL TAP office, okay. which is as soldiers are transitioning out. I was given the opportunity to brief some of those soldiers and also to go talk to National Guard members and reservists when they do the 1 week in a month drill, because we also impact those as well. They are committed to 1 week in a month. But most of these companies, I would say 100% of this company understand the military duties and help them with a full-time opportunity to make sure they could do the military fulfillment and also do their civilian jobs. So it's all this company, they're pro-military in the state here in Colorado.
And you were doing a lot of work, you know, like you said, prior to you getting out. What was your occupational skill specialty?
My occupational skill, I was responsible for the whole state of Colorado recruiting command mm-hmm. for the Colorado Army National Guard. So I went through the mountains. I went to the cities. I've been all over the place in the state of Colorado. I did that for the last 12, 14 years. Myself, personally, I enlisted over 200 service members into the Colorado Guard. I was the recruiter of the year a couple times for the state of Colorado. And also top supervisor in the nation because of how we took the job serious and helping mm-hmm. those people that we don't reach to in the middle of the farm system. They don't know what the military is here sure. to help and assist them with full-time opportunities.
What do you see as kind of the bridge of bridging the gap, or not really the gap, but what you did in military with recruiting, and now that you see this in the staffing office, how are those two aligned?
They align very, very much because myself, I feel like I'm helping both.
Yeah.
I still help those currently serve in the reserve side, and I help those who have served in the past, mm-hmm. regardless of what discharge you had, a good or a bad one. We're still going to embrace you. Some of these companies, they understand you made a mistake, and we're here to help you. They're just looking for the veteran. They're looking for those veterans that had those values that they got through the military.
And what industries are you finding that are, you know, kind of the relationships that could fit the transitioning military? What are some of the better ones that you have seen?
We go a lot to the ones that's in the logistic fields, mm-hmm. supply management, also the warehousing. That's the type of environment, the heavy industrial, the metal industry, construction companies, they are out there. One, those engineers that serve in the military. We are also looking at those warehouse people. That's the kind of environment that we get them into full-time employment.
I'm thinking right now, you know, like we just had the big Amazon group just come in. Is that like one of that's the big warehousing areas?
They are. That's the type of environment, but it's not the big boys like the Amazon. The big A, everybody, sometimes they play with them, but not that much. But we got we very selective also what companies we select to work with, mm-hmm. because we want to make sure if we're going to give you the best product, which is our veterans, we want to make sure our veterans get compensated properly and they have an opportunity to help you lead this company, the company that they represent, and also to make sure they have an employee there for a long run.
So do you also look at, you know, we're talking about the solutions that we have as far as getting people back into the workforce. Do you also help them maybe with an entrepreneurship side of the house as well, you know, if they want to become an entrepreneur, or is that just something that's totally, totally different?
It's different, but we also... Our CEO, Mr. Colin Jack, he takes that very serious. And when he see people wanted to start their own company and everything, mm-hmm. we also set up the connections as part of our network that we say, hey, we cannot, this is not bread and butter. This is not what we do. But we also know the right point of contacts. That's what part of being going to Fort Carson to the SFL TAP and working with Mount Carmel, those opportunities out there, that's what we business partner with them. Because those are the ones that had the sources to help those veterans with those
gotcha.
Type of opportunities, sir.
Well, see, the reason I asked that question is because I think you probably want to be a little entrepreneur yourself. You got a little side hustle going on, man. You're trying to hold back. This gentleman, man, he's going down to Cuba and all them places, man, and bringing back these cigars. I want to hear more about that.
First of all, it's not Cuba. I go to Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic. Okay, okay. Go to Dominican
I go to Dominican Republic. I want to make sure I stay good.
Stay good.
Yes. That was my dream job. As I retired from the military, I never drink or smoke. I hardly ever drink or smoke. But I say, hey, now that I feel like I did 30 years of military service,
wow.
now it's my time to enjoy myself. And I would like to have a nice cold beer and smoke a cigar by the beach. And fortunate for me, I've discovered the Dominican Republic, Punta Cana, and that's what I decided
Punta
to
Cana,
do.
Punta Cana, yeah. I want to go there.
Come, you're more than welcome. Come see me.
Yeah, my wife and I, we've been trying to figure a way to get down there on her airlines to get down there. So tell me a little bit more about this. What was the passion, you know, behind you know.
I don't know if it's a passion. It just feel the freedom that whenever you sit down by the beach and you get your feet on the sand and you get that cigar, you feel like you made it. It feels like you made it. And
but you got your own cigars.
I do have my own cigars.
I mean, they got their name on them.
They do, and they're gorgeous. I got to bring you a couple of them.
I'm about to go get one. I don't even smoke, but I'm about to get one of his cigars, y'all.
Yes, of course. It's something that I just discovered a passion as I was going there. I see the hard work of the Dominican people, and yeah. I want to bring some of that back over here, the kindness and the freedom that you feel when you do that. So that's one of my passions that I like to do. And it's post-military. My mom's probably still slapped the crap out of me for doing this, but I still do it.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that. The only thing I just don't like about this guy is he's a Yankees fan. That's the only part. You know, I'm a Sox
Whoa.
Guy. So that's the only thing. But we're good on the cigars. Hey, I hear the passion in your voice. And when you were talking about that, have you seen like some of those stories, those success stories that you have been working with some of these individuals, these service members, and you see a great transition and a great matchup? Can you tell us a story about, you know, the passion and the excitement that you see back in those military veterans when they get aligned properly?
It is. One of the big success stories, I got a young man that we met. This young man was homeless in the Arapahoe County area, and he was referred to me, say, "Hey, Eric, this is a prior service veteran. He might need an opportunity." I took a chance with the guy. The guy was sleeping on his cart. We gave him an opportunity, a middle course over there in Golden, Colorado. The young man was always the first one in, the last one out. After 3 months, this young man went from being homeless to a $45 an hour job.
Wow.
Owning a brand new car and an apartment. And this young man keeps calling every day. And he's the biggest guy that keeps referring people to us. He wants to change wow. people's life with the opportunities we gave him over there in Miller Coors and Golden.
What a fantastic story. What skills and backgrounds, you talk about that, you know, because he's referring people now, do you think transitioning military candidates need to be really successful like that at Valiant?
Honestly, that's why I have the passion for Valiant, because we go for no skills. Mm-hmm. High school, just out of high school, no skills to people with top of the line skills. We got companies. That's what we recruit for, 67 companies that we do the recruiting for. Mm-hmm. We got some in the state of Colorado. We got some in Dallas. And we're moving nationally to different places in the nation. We got some opportunities that we have helped veterans that, hey, I got out of the military. I didn't figure what to do post-military. I don't have a house. So we have some of the travel opportunities that they could go stay in hotels and travel and do those types of environments. So we go for no skills to skills that you got through the military.
So what advice is there, you know, and we've talked about a lot of things, but what advice do you give to our listeners that are out there that are currently serving or transitioning regarding work and then getting out of the military? You know, I know we talked about getting ahead of the curve a little bit, but is there anything else that our transitioning service members might want to consider before they make that transition?
I will say the biggest advice I'll give the military, understand that's a job that you held, that you had your hat on, that you did 100% for. Understand that civilian life is not the same. It's a big transition when you go from 30 years, whatever amount of years you serve in the armed forces, to civilian life. Understand and know that it was just a job. Understand that now, because you was in charge of the world in the armed forces, you'll be in charge of the world in civilian lives. Just humble yourself. When you started in the armed forces, you didn't start in charge of everything. So know, as you transition, be willing to learn, and your opportunity will come to you. And it's plenty of opportunities. Do not think the military is all you have. It's a lot of opportunities also post-military.
Wow. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Eric Cruz, Vice President of Recruiting and Talent Acquisition, Valiant Staffing over at Mount Carmel. You know, one of the things that this show does is we really push down into the southeast part of the community. Really want to make sure that part of the community really understands that there's these resources and services are there for them. So what kind of outreach does Valiant Staffing do to ensure, you know, diversity is top of mind?
It's a little bit of everything. It's opportunities for everyone, mm-hmm. different type of job skills, different types of jobs. The diversity is very important for us because we got to know how to deal with everyone that comes through the door. We have helped veterans with disabilities. We have helped veterans mm-hmm. that are top of the line. We have veterans that are still in the armed forces. And it's very important for us to understand the individual that walks through the door and also to understand that not all jobs are for everyone. Mm-hmm. So we need to know that, and we are very knowledgeable of that, and we take people with the most respect. From day one, you get the phone number for the CEO, because communication goes from the top to the bottom, bottom to the top. Yeah. We like to be very transparent when it comes to jobs.
Have you seen any challenges, like, where people of color that may bring up to you in the recruiting process, or the recruiting process when they go out for job hunts? Is there something that might be different that they should consider?
It's a lot of challenges. Some of the challenges are so many people coming post COVID.
Yeah.
All these benefits they got to the government, they're like, hey, I want to make the same amount of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And do the same amount of work, which it was nothing.
Yeah.
Understand, you got to earn that money. You have to work hard for it, and opportunities out there. The good thing is that a lot of companies, a lot of businesses, they are raising the pace to take care, make sure that they could take care of these applicants applying for jobs, and understanding that that there's always a chance for everyone out there with different pay rates, different skill sets. So that's going to be the biggest challenge. Another challenge are a lot of people got accustomed to stay home.
Yeah.
And not making and getting that free money through the mail. So that's a tough one. But we still here to serve you. My job never stopped during the COVID, and because we deal with the heavy industrial, so that's always open out there.
It's amazing when I've seen kind of like you were saying, you know, a lot of folks have been accustomed to working or not working, you know, getting home right now. And now we're seeing the world kind of opening back up. And folks are clamoring for people to come in, you know, in the restaurant industries and the hoteling industries. You know, people just can't staff people fast enough. So when you're pushing into those spaces, how do you let folks know that, yeah, these are opportunities, and this is going to be better for you than just kind of staying at home?
A lot of people just base everything based in the initial hourly rate or salary that they're going to get. Especially if you're an hourly pay employee, you also got to look at shortening of personnel. It's an opportunity for you to grow food in the company, and it's also an opportunity to you to make the extra money amount that you need for you and your family with overtime. So that's some of the values that we got to bring. Also, 90% of the companies that we get into, they got a union. So they got to look about not just the money, you also got to look at the benefits that come along with the job that you just got.
Yeah, because the benefits will outweigh a lot of just the hourly check. especially when the times we're in right now, people were talking about, you know, Eric, you know, a lot of uncertainty that was going on. And I always ask the question, well, when do we ever have certainty? That was one. And then two, I ask the question when I'm speaking to my audience is, like, did you work harder during COVID? And people say, yeah, I worked a lot harder during COVID. I said, well, how hard were you working before COVID actually hit? So were you just coasting, or, you know? So those things are, you know, it's that work effort that we can do that really helps us in the society move forward. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Eric Cruz. How do people get a hold of you over at Mount Carmel?
It is very simple. We have our direct line. Plus also we got valiantstaffingco.com. Please give us an opportunity. We're here to help you and assist you with job opportunities. And we are always available anytime you decide to look for an opportunity to move forward in life.
Once again, Eric Cruz, Vice President of Recruiting and Talent Acquisition, Valiant Staffing, partner organization over at Mount Carmel. And we're going to leave here right now and go down to his way and go get some of those cigars.
Thank you. More than welcome. Whoops. No more work for today.
No more work for today. We will talk to you all a little bit later. My name is John Register. We'll be back with more Tactical Advantage right after this.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPM.
If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Audrey Marshall Harris, thank you for coming by.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You're the outreach specialist over at Veteran and Family Services at Mount Carmel. Tell us a little bit about those services.
The services that we provide are to try to reach out to the veterans that may find themselves in difficult positions, possibly homeless, on the verge of being homeless. And so with the partners like such as Rocky Mountain Human Services and Volunteers of America, through our grant funding, the Veterans Family Resources Team, we try to fill in the gaps where we may have to supplement someone by paying a car payment. It could be a rent payment, a mortgage payment. If they're coming straight off of the street, we want to also offer the financial piece services and the case management piece service so that they can try to prevent from being in that place again. So we do like a whole case management type deal so that once we help them, rather than just put the Band-Aid on it, mm-hmm. what we want to do is make sure that, you know, they can move forward and they'll be okay moving forward. You know, it's better to teach a person to fish than right. to feed them.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. When you look at this from the standpoint of how veterans are finding out about the services, right? You said that whether it might be coming off the street or they might be, you know, just kind of coming into Mount Carmel after hearing about them. Other than like programs like this and trying to get the word out, what are you all doing to try to help those veterans in the community say, you know what, we're actually here?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We started this new, my position is actually new. It's about 3 months old. Mm-hmm. So just more recently, I'm now housed at the Springs Rescue Mission.
Okay.
So I'm accessible there, and I'm there on Mondays and Wednesdays from 8 to 4. And then I'm housed at the TAP building on Fort Carson, where soldiers that may be transitioning, they may find that they may be in need of services as well. And I'm there from those same hours. They just sign up, they come in and see me. And in a little while, we don't have a date yet, but we are actually going to open up a outreach. We'll be housed out in the Fountain area. Mm-hmm. And in the Pueblo area, Trinidad is almost up and running. So that that was where the first Mount Carmel was. But sure. Now they're expanding their services as well to kind of mimic what we do here in Colorado Springs. And so we're trying to spread ourselves around the city so it's easy for people to find us and get to us.
Wow. I mean, that's great that you're over at Fort Carson and the Springs Rescue Mission and even down towards Pueblo and Trinidad. What are some of those stories that you're seeing, you know, when people are coming in? I know you've only been on the job for a small amount of time, but there's got to be something that's like, oh my gosh, this thing's actually working.
Well, I was impressed with Mount Carmel. First of all, I can honestly say I didn't really know about what their services were until I started working for them. And then just to see how the whole team itself, not just the Veterans Family Resources Team, but all the other parts of Mount Carmel work together as one, and they really care about the veteran and their family members, because we do offer some of the same services to the family members. And just to, a person can come in and they can be at their lowest point, and just a greeting at the front desk can start to help uplift them. And then we do a warm handoff to wherever the next station is or next department is. And so us at the Veterans Family Resources Team, we try to just make sure that we take care of every single thing that they need. And if we can't do it as a department, we do a warm handoff to a department within Mount Carmel. And if it's some organization that's outside of Mount Carmel, then we make the call and we say, this is the situation, not, you know, to give out too much information.
Sure.
And then we'll try to set it up to where that client can set something up, an appointment to speak with those persons to help with their services that they offer that we cannot offer.
Wow. So Veteran and Family Resources is also known as the kind of quote unquote bridge assistant.
So what does
that mean as we've been talking with some of these programs that we have out there?
Basically, we are not in the business of paying multiple months of rent for mm-hmm. persons. But you may find that something came up unexpected, a huge car payment or something like that, and that may have thrown your budget off for that month. And so we may step in and either help with a car payment, a car repair, maybe step in and pay the mortgage. Wherever you may find yourself falling short, we can step in and we can attempt to help pay that for whatever that service is. But we also, again, you know, then try to ensure that you're going to be okay that following month. And if you're in need of other services like multiple months of rent or something like that, again, then that goes to another organization that has grant money and funding that can supply those services.
So I was just telling to our phenomenal producer, Al, on the way in before you got in the studio, man, my car broke down, man, in Kerrville, Texas.
Where is
that? I need some assistance to get my car back here. I'm going to come over and see you all.
Yeah, you may have to.
So aside from grant funding, what other organizations does your department partner with to assist the veterans?
Well, again, we work with Rocky Mountain Human Services, Military Home Front Cares, Volunteers of America. The VFWs are big supporters of us as far as helping with financial pieces. And then we have some other private entities, personal, maybe family members, former veterans, retirees that, you know, try to donate. And then we have some people that even donate specific funds that can help widows of veterans and things like that. We are under the big umbrella of the Phil Long Ford Enterprise. And so the contacts and partners that they have, El Pomar and places like that, they also help as well. And so those are just a few, to name just a few of those that can help.
Well, we always, you know, are so thankful, of course, with the, you know, Phil Long Ford. That's always been, you know, such a great support for the community. And what you're all doing over there is just fantastic. So we're talking with Audrey Marshall-Harris, Outreach Specialist of the Veteran and Family Resources at Mount Carmel. And as we're sitting down earlier, I found out that she is a Prince fan.
Holy yes.
You went to some concerts too.
Oh yeah, I got an opportunity to see him a few times. I got an opportunity to meet him when I was I'm from Peoria, Illinois, from the Midwest, and I was working for the Civic Center. So Morris Day and the Time.
Oh my gosh.
Prince, they did a concert. Sheila E, all of them.
Oh my gosh.
And I actually got an opportunity to meet with them because I was working as an usher there. And then some years later, when I got married in 1987, they happened to be back in the Peoria area. And they were staying in the same hotel where I was having my bachelorette party.
Wow.
Prior to my wedding and everything. So I got a couple of times. I went and saw Purple Rain 17 times at the movie theater. I scraped together my pennies and would go literally every day. And I seen Purple Rain at the movie theaters by myself or with friends 17 times.
Wow. Yeah. So that's got me geeked out because I'm such a huge Prince fan. So that's crazy. Favorite Prince song? You got anybody?
Oh, goodness. Lonely.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Awesome.
I love Lonely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Wow. So, yeah. So we made an instant connection when she actually said that right there. So once again, we're talking with Audrey Marshall-Harris, Outreach Director, Specialist over at Veteran and Family Resource Center. Mount Carmel, definitely a Prince fan, so we are jamming on that. You know, part of your outreach work is to make veterans in Fountain, Pueblo, and Trinidad, you know, aware. And as we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, you've been going out there. What are some of the, you know, kind of the foresight that you have and the vision that you have as you kind of come into this role, maybe a year down the road, 2 years down the road, of what is going on during those types of outreaches?
Well, our hope is to, of course, it may not be realistic, but to get everybody in a place if they want to be in permanent housing. A year down the road, we're hoping that we have nonstop connections and our doors are just on a revolving, that people are just coming in and out and the word is spreading. Our hope is that our veterans know that we're there and that we truly do care and have their best interest at heart, and that we're not just saying this in word. We're trying to show in deed that we are here to help you. And if we can't help you, we're going to try to find someone who can help you. And that's in any services, you know, in all services. So we hope to be fully staffed and be able to supply everything, more than just monetary support and things like that. But our hope is to have those offices staffed appropriately so that we are there on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. and people can just walk in without an appointment or make an appointment with us, come in. We create a friendly atmosphere. We make them feel welcome, and we want them to be comfortable sitting down talking with us about, you know, some of the personal things that got them to the place that they are, and then we'll talk and try to work together as a team, meaning us and the client, to try to get mm-hmm. them to a place that they're trying to move forward towards.
Have you seen during your time, your tenure here, like a story of an individual that's maybe gone through the system or process, or does anything stand out? Or is it kind of too early to kind of see that yet?
No, I've actually met a couple of people or ran into a couple of persons who, prior to this, I worked for CAE Community Corrections. And so I did meet one of our clients who actually was at Springs Rescue Mission. I ran into him. He had completed the community corrections program, got some help from us. He is now successfully working. Mm. He's permanently housed. Wow. Family is doing well. He sends something at least monthly and tells us how he's doing. I even got a letter, an email from his the apartment complex that we help him get into, saying how much of a pleasure it is and how pleasant he is as a tenant. And so I've gotten a couple of stories like that, and other case managers have gotten that same type of feedback where people may send us just a card just to say thank you, not believing that it was possible mm-hmm. At the time that they came in, but thanking us for helping make it possible.
So I see that you're saying that they're veterans are really grateful for the assistance. Sometimes it's hard for veterans to even come forward to say that they need assistance. How do you kind of manage that piece of the pride that goes along with serving country and the now I don't want to really take something that I think, you know, to show that I might have some vulnerability?
Well, we approach it in the way that life happens to everybody.
Yeah.
And it could be you today, but it could be me tomorrow. And sometimes you have those conversations with them. And then not to disclose too much about personal things about ourselves when we're talking with clients. But, you know, some of us have been in that same situation. Some of us have been helped by the same organization or similar organizations or partners that we're presently working with. And we're okay with telling our story. And I think that helps with the client that we're working with. I think that it helps them become comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've often been told by clients that it is just so friendly and warm when they come to Mount Carmel and they feel defeated. And by the time they leave us, they feel like everything is going to be better or okay.
I think sharing those stories, you know, personally, when you get on a one-on-one client, really does help bridge that gap, like you're talking about, making those bridges happen. I know,
yes.
Shoot, when my wife and I were living on Presidio, San Francisco, I was a little E4, and ends were tough. But I will always do things for ACS now, Army Community Services.
That's right.
Because they really helped us during that time, whether it was, you know, going to the food pantry or something that can help us to tie those ends over. And it's really just great to get back. When you look at this, I know veterans grateful for the assistance. You were mentioning a little bit earlier about, you know, the transition going into some of the housing that is out there. There's also like a hotel program as well. So talk a little bit about the hotel program. And is that just Colorado Springs area, or is it also down in Pueblo and, you know, going down to Trinidad?
More so in the Colorado Springs area. Mm-hmm. Now, Mount Carmel per se does not typically pay for hotel stays. We did find ourselves, because we got a little bit of different funding that we were able to use for those purposes, to put people in hotels for long-term stays, but that more so falls in the lap of other organizations. Sure. The majority of the people that we work with are starting to work, moving into their own place, or already in their mm-hmm. own home. If they're literally homeless, we let them start out with Volunteers of America and Rocky Mountain Human Services, because they have the funds to possibly house them in a hotel until. Now, it has happened in the past that we will put them in a hotel for a day or two if they've done their contract, lease, or whatever, and something, and maybe some more repairs may be needed.
Like a gap or something.
Yeah, so for short-term stays, it's been in the past that we have done that, but that is not something that we regularly do as Mount Carmel. But there are organizations that can help in those circumstances.
And then you all link them with those organizations.
We do. Again, we try to make the calls to the case managers on that side, explain the situation, because it gets frustrating for me to tell you, hey, this person can help you, and then send you over there just, and you don't know anyone. If I've given you a warm handoff and I've kind of introduced you by phone to the next case manager and they're expecting you, it's a little bit more easy, and the client is more likely to follow through.
Through like a warm lead.
Yeah, a warm handoff.
So thank you so much. How do folks get a hold of you? Do you have a number that people can call?
We do. You can call us on our main number, 719-772-7000. We're located at 530 Communication Circle. And just to give you some landmarks, if you're familiar with Sonics and the 8th Street Walmart, just come straight up the Merino up to the top of the hill. We're on the right-hand side, and that's where we're located. We're there every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Me personally, as an outreach case manager, I can be reached at 719-286-9228. Oh, and one more thing. We have a great financial counselor that can help you with budgeting. Her name is Liz Foster, and she's a case manager. She's our financial wellness case manager. She does workshops in the evenings, on the weekends sometimes, just to make it convenient for people that may need help with budgeting, even if it's something as small as balancing your checkbook or something like that. She can talk to you about mortgages, what the best things is. She can explain rates and APRs. Liz has a wealth of knowledge in finance, and you can sit down one-on-one, or you can do the big group thing and come to some of her workshops. She's fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. Once again, we've been talking with Audrey Marshall Harris, the Outreach Specialist, Veteran and Family Resources at Mount Carmel, the Veteran Center over there. Make sure that you are dialing in, because they have some great resources for you. So thank you so much. And we will be right back with more Tactical Advantage and your host, John Register, right after this.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
In today's tough economic times, it can be hard to make sure you're working with companies that have your best interest at heart. Because of this, you can count on the Wire Nut to go the extra mile to make sure that you and your investments are protected. You can trust the Wire Nut for licensed HVAC technicians, master electricians, and plumbers. The Wire Nut is your complete home service company. They strive to make sure you are comfortable in your home and that your home is safe. Call the Wire Nut Home Services at 719-465-5902. Online at thewirenut.com. Proud sponsor of the Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
So, well, that does it, everybody. Another show is in the can. Make sure you're reaching out to all of those. Tell your friend that this is an opportunity for you to get involved with Mount Carmel and get some of those services, the great services that they have over there. If you want more information about me, just shoot me an email to info@johnregister.com, and make sure you are spreading the word and sharing with your neighbors about the great information you are learning on the Tactical Advantage. If you are liking the show, get on the Podbean and leave a comment. A great big thanks to all of our guests today for sharing their wisdom with us. So follow me throughout the week and get on all of my social media handles at johnregister.com. Remember, when truth outweighs fear, we will commit to a courageous life and always go forth and inspire your world. My name is John Register. Once again, thanks again for listening. Talk to you next week on the Tactical Advantage. Go forth, inspire your world. Bye for now.
This has been Tactical Advantage with John Register, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KPPF, presented by Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, WireNut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Listen to the companion podcast on kppfradio.podbean.com.